India is a tour service in northern India created by Dalbir Singh. We joined a tour with Dalbir along with our KZFR colleague Gail Kimball a few years ago. Dalbir describes his tours in the Punjab region of India as a rich land of Sikhs, sadhus, and saints. But his knowledge of this area is broad, and he speaks about Sikh, Hindu, Muslim, and Sufi traditions. We found his knowledge of the land and the landscape equally enlightening. Dalbir has a Bachelor of Arts degree in Defense Studies, History, and Political Science, and a Bachelor of Education degree from Kashmir University. We caught up with Dalbir recently to find out how things are going for him in this time of the COVID pandemic. Our conversation was pre-recorded on Zoom. Welcome, Dalbir.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
It's so great to see you. So great to see you. It's been a long time.
But we had such a wonderful time with you when we were there.
Nice to see you after a long time. I think we were together in 2012 in India, northern India.
2012. Oh my gosh, that was a long time.
It's nearly 10 years.
Wow. We would like people to know about your tours because it's such an amazing experience. Can you tell us a little bit more about Dalbeers India and the kinds of tours you lead?
Dalbeers India, is my name is given by my one friend from Britain, British. When I was in 1999, I was doing some volunteer work for Kundalini Yoga peoples in my hometown. So I studied and grown up in very small hometown. My medium of instruction was Punjabi. But first time when I saw foreigners in my hometown, here was no one to help them. In my hometown, people can't speak English very well. So I made myself able to speak with them and help them to show my hometown and my country better way. I do different kind of tours. I founded this, my company in 1999. It started in that year when we were celebrating 300 celebration of our festivals. It's called Birthplace of Khalsa. So we were celebrating that year, very big celebration. So after that, I started to do different kind of tours in India, like spiritual tours on spirituality. People from different countries, they like to know about India. They want to learn and about Indian culture, Indian festivals, different things. So I live in northern India. My northern India is a very powerful and very good place to see as a tourist. But here four different different religions lives, like Hindu and Sikh peoples and the Sufis in Kashmir and different parts of India. And Dharamshala is also close to my home where the Dalai Lama lives. So Buddhist monastery, Hindu, Muslim, Sikhs, and all together lives close to my area. So I'm working on them. I do spiritual tours for my clients.
We did go to the Buddhist monastery, I remember, as part of that, our tour with you. And it was an amazing place, an amazing town, amazing setting. And the monastery was really gorgeous. So,
yes,
that's cool, because a lot of our tour focused on Sikh traditions, but the Buddhist one was a nice addition to that.
Yes, Buddhist and like Hindu culture, people like to come to see the Naked Sadhus. One of the biggest festival happened in India. It's called Kumbh Festivals. It's happened once in 12 years. It's celebrated in four different locations in India. People like to understand about the Hindu saints, Naga Sadhus, Naked Sadhus. They live like naked dreadlocks in Himalayas, mountains. But when they celebrate this festival in like Rishikesh, Haridwar, and Allahabad, Nasik, and Ujjain, four different locations in India. So people all over the world come here to see them. So I spend a lot of time with them. I see all these four festivals. In four times this festival, which happened each place once in 12 years.
Wow.
So after 3 years, this festival is repeating somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So Kundalini Yoga is another big thing happening in the West. So people like to come to India on the Kundalini Yoga tours and yoga tours, Ayurvedic tours, and medical tours is also very famous in India, because Indian medical science is very capable to do any kind of treatments. People who can't afford like cancer or other expensive treatments abroad. So medical tourism is also a big industry in India. And Ayurvedic things is also playing very great role in these things. So I'm doing these kind of different kind of tours, like medical or educational tours. Children like to do architectural things in India.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful temples and some textile, Indian fabrications. Indian clothing is very good. We are very good in the cotton things, fabrications. So all kind of tours I'm doing. in the trekking tours too.
That's really great. What are some of your favorite places to go to take people in India where you go, oh, I'm so glad that I get to show you this, or this is a highlight for everybody. I'm sure you have a lot of them, but maybe you could just mention a few of the places that are especially powerful or interesting to you.
Yes, I have many different places I like to visit, but spiritual places like Himalayas, where the energy is very high, fresh air, climate is very pleasant. Kashmir is one of my favorite places to visit because I live in the shadow of the Himalayas, my hometown. You've been here. It is on the shadow of the Himalayas, just on the footsteps. So Kashmir, there is a snow. All seasons are very beautiful. And the saffron is one of the world-class saffron grown there. And the Kashmiri carpets, silk carpets. And other tours which I like to do, my hometown, birthplace of Khalsa, very important place, mm-hmm. is in my hometown. Sikh peoples like to come here in my hometowns very much because it's a very, very powerful place here. In my cultures, we have a five big high temples, like supreme temples. They're called Takhat. So one supreme temple is in my hometown. So every Sikh has to visit these five temples in their lifetime. Mm. So one biggest festival we celebrate in my hometown is called Festival of Colors in March month. This is also my favorite place, and the Golden Temple, Dharamshala, where Dalai Lama lives, and Buddhist Tantric Monastery there, and Rishikesh, where I took you there, and we did the rafting and the swimming in the Ganges.
Yes.
Yes.
That was a highlight for me.
I wanted to tell a story to what I think it was Rishikesh, where there's the bridge across the Ganges that is inhabited by aggressive monkeys.
And Lakshman Jula.
Okay. And you protected us. You took all our shopping goods and braved the monkeys while we escaped. And they were mean monkeys. So you saved us on that occasion.
I paid very much from that, too. So, beetle groups came there. Rishikesh is also known as the yoga capital, world's yoga capital. Mm-hmm. So I like to do my tours in Himalayas to see the source of Ganges, one of world's holiest river. Mm-hmm. So it is a very high altitude, and I did that trekking a few times there. I like to go in the Himalayas with the saints, follow them to their pilgrims, and because these trekkings, these holy shrines opens in a year only for a few months, because all year there is a snow. So I like to do, being a, like I'm still fit, physically fit, doing trekking there, doing camping there, and understanding these spiritual people's lifestyle, why they choose that high altitude areas, Himalayas, for their meditation. Yeah. So it is very great for me to be doing these kind of tours, different communities.
And that sort of explains on your website where you say Dalbeers, India, sacred space and sacred travel. And that seems important to you.
Yes, it is very important for me because I don't like to invite my guests to see only Taj Mahal or Delhi or Metro, big materialistic thing. I like to take people out of the roadmap where people can go in different cultural experience. Like I told you already, they can visit Buddhist monasteries, tantric monasteries. There is some in Himalayas, and home of Dalai Lama, Dharamshala, is close to my hometown, and Golden Temple, and mm-hmm. Sufis in Kashmir, and different and the Nagasadhus in Rishikesh and Kumbha festivals. I organize these things according to the time and the festival season and according to the need of the my guests.
Right.
So if people like to go with the Kundalini Yoga or Buddhism or Sikhism or Sufism, so I want when they're going back to their hometown or in their country, they can take some seeds about spirituality. So they can spread this powerful message to their families, their communities, so people can feel better and enlightened.
That's great. That's really great. I want to move to how things are going with the COVID pandemic and how that's affected where you live. How have things changed in your home since the COVID pandemic began?
It happened all over the world, and in my hometown where I live, it's very small. I'm not living in big cities like Delhi, Mumbai, or Chandigarh. My hometown is very small. And this pandemic situation just affected us very much. Because pilgrims not able to come, we suffered from the lockdown situation. And weekend curfew, night curfews. People lost their jobs, and it is a very, very hard time for us and the last 2 years, especially the hospitality and tourism industry. People living in big cities, they have a clients, they have a number of living of standards or per capita income is higher as compared to our small towns. So when government is strictness, giving strict about the traveling vaccinations, so it's making the situation very difficult for us.
Was it strict in your hometown? Because it's small, was it easier? I mean, did you have more lockdown than the cities, or was it easier in small towns?
It was the same all over the India in the beginning. In the beginning, it was totally shut down. Whole time we were in home, their shops were closed, and it was opening only time to time. People were panicking. People were collecting the grocery in their homes for months and months. They have no idea how long it's going to be. But people who were on daily basis, earning and making their life, it made very difficult for them to survive. So as the situation changed and the weekend lockdown opened, and it made life a little better for people so they can travel here and there. Because India is a big country, 28 states, and every these states, they close their borders with each other, each state. Like if I'm going to Himachal, so they didn't open their borders for Punjab for a long time.
Yeah.
What's the status of? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dalmir.
And after that, vaccine become the another issue.
Okay.
Here. Mm-hmm. People are panicking. People don't want to take vaccine. Everyone don't want to take vaccine. The government policies, they saying if you want to go in the government restaurant and other places, and at least you have to be. Government just want to be people make aware to take it, but 100% people don't want to take it. So sometimes it's also becoming difficult because some states saying you have to take vaccines.
Are the people who don't want vaccines, are they concerned about side effects? Are they afraid the vaccines don't work? Are there religious objections to taking the vaccines?
There is no religious objections, but maybe some communities, people think it's a government policy. They want to decrease the population or fertility rate, or maybe after a few years, their death going to be happen soon. People have different views about it. people yeah. don't want to take vaccine. They want to accept it as it is because they believe in their own Ayurvedic things. We, you know, mm-hmm. we have a variety of herbs in India.
Right.
We've grown them. People believe in Ayurvedic things. Like, for example, I have a cough. I think we can boil ginger, cardamom, cinnamon, and black pepper, cloves, all together, and some other herbs. So we like to have that after boiling a couple of hours and with the spoon of honey to make our feel better, to our immunity system. Drinking a milk with the like thermic powder, like golden milk.
Right.
People
yeah,
have their own beliefs. Mm-hmm. People don't believe like this vaccine is going to work because government is not sure if after taking this, they are not going to get COVID again. That is the main issue.
Yeah, golden yeah. milk is great for a lot of things, but not for the COVID. I mean,
yes.
if you do golden milk, you're going to help your immune system for sure, but that won't prevent the disease.
Yes. Indian Ayurveda is playing a very huge role in this, making people safe.
Well, you know, Americans have their own
peculiarities
about the vaccine because we're still struggling
you
know with getting everybody vaccinated, and so it's been really hard here.
It's government's policy. Wants some the employees, if you're an employee you have to take vaccine, if it's a restaurant area. Government is also right on their side because they have their own inventions, they have their own trust, government trust. If we are giving this vaccine, people going to be safe. So, but the people, government need to win people's heart and their confidence.
Right.
Seminar, right. educational places, they need to motivate students how it's going to work. Mask, people are wearing here very much. But now, little relaxation. But now we are maybe suffering from next another wave is like Omicron. Is going on this time.
Right. So how did that, did your business completely shut down for that first part of COVID? You couldn't do anything?
It is because my links with my known people repeated to me every year. And I was advertising last 2 years in my business, and people are panicking to come to India after first wave. Second wave made our situations very poor because the mortality death rate was very high. Indian government closed borders with the other countries.
Right.
For a long, long, long time. People who really want to come as a tourist, government was not giving them tourist visas.
So
there was another option for the tourist, for business visa.
Has that changed yet? Can you get tourist visas now? Or
people still can get visa, but they are panicking about Asian countries, coming to Asian countries. It's not safe. They don't feeling 100% confident. And people, clients or guests who want to come to India, they don't want to take any kind of vaccine. So it is becoming the complications and big, like I don't have here like a big infrastructure or advertising like Dalbir Singh is living in like small hometown.
Right.
Please come to me. Because there is a big agencies in Delhi, Mumbai, internationally, they're working internationally for years and years. They have big infrastructure.
Yeah, right.
People who living in the small villages, who depends on tourism, they lost their business totally.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. Because people's not able to keep in touch with them. If we have some links, people can say, we don't want to take vaccine. Their relative, near dear people, they don't want to send their relatives to India.
Wow.
In this situation, so until this thing is going to be settled. So last 2 years becomes very, very, very hard for us. Like our life, you can say, is going on credit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So have you done any tours in the last, has it lightened up?
I did a couple of tours this year.
Oh, okay.
And only one individual people came to India.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not able to get tourist visa. So they came on business visa.
Mm-hmm.
So for business visa, there is a lot of formality I have to be done. I registered my company now in another name. I came under the GST. Because
what is
I
that?
Need to GST tax.
Okay.
GST. Goods service tax.
Okay.
Whenever we are doing any kind of business, we need to pay tax to government.
I see. Yeah.
And now Dalbir Sandhya has another name also, In Depth India. I registered my company on In Depth India now.
Okay.
Dalbir India is a spiritual tours, but In Depth India is also all kind of tours I'm doing now.
I see.
I registered my company. I have a GST number. So every month I have to pay tax to government now.
Oh, boy. Mm. You have to make some money in order to pay that tax.
Because when it's a business, you're sending someone invitation letter as a business visa. So I need my company is registered here.
Mm-hmm.
I have this number. I have my office, everything. No, you have to become more professionally
right.
for business.
Right, right.
Because they are going to be... give that my invitation letter is going to the Indian High Commission. They're going mm-hmm. to verify me this person. Then I'm getting calls from the Indian High Commission, Indian embassies. This person is coming to India. What he's doing with you?
Oh, so
I have
okay.
to
okay.
tell them.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they're doing the inquiries.
Right.
So I have established myself in this to get a business more professionally. Otherwise, I was doing these things from my home.
Right.
I was getting clients from the Delhi and other cities, other big agencies sometimes. People were sending, okay, Dalbir is living in India or in Anandpur Sahib. He's a good person. He has a good travel knowledge last many years. But I never tried to register this. But now I have to register. There is another expenses on us.
Yeah. So in the long run, after we're done with COVID, will that still be a good thing? I mean, I know you would like to have the tourism visas back up and running again, but will that be a good thing in the long run to have that kind of broader business?
Yeah, I want to go with it, like my whatever I'm doing.
Right.
I don't want to leave my profession, don't
right.
want to change it. Because this, my education, I did my graduation. Like you told in defense study and history and political science.
Mm-hmm.
After that, after completion of my graduation, I went to Kashmir for my teaching course as a teacher. I was very much inspired by the Kashmiri culture, cuisine, everything. So I was already keep in touch with some foreigner peoples. It was when I was traveling and was showing my country to that. It became my diet of my soul, traveling and sharing my experience to
yes.
people. I didn't choose my career as a teacher. I think I have a big work. People coming to India, they need some good people for knowledgeable. So I want to share them some very powerful spiritual places about India where they can feel enlightened and they can choose their path. And they can understand about their life, who they are, and what they want in this lifetime. So when this pandemic came, it changed our life.
And that still is a kind of teaching. It's teaching
yes.
in a way
yes.
that's kind of bigger and broader and probably more impactful. So you are doing teaching.
It's certainly impacted us.
Yeah.
We
yes,
haven't been
you
the same since...
That.
Being with you, seeing the spiritual places, I think particularly of Amritsar.
Yeah.
And but that stands out as a historical and religious site.
Yes. And still I'm like to continue my this profession. And it's a like diet of my soul, and it makes me feel powerful when I talk about my tours and when I travel, or when I in free time I do doing my itineraries. It gave me strength.
Let me just tell our listeners, we're talking with Dalbir Singh, who is in India. This is a Zoom interview. He runs Dalbir's India, which is provides excellent tours for visitors to India. He also takes great pride in showing the spiritual sides of India. And as we just heard, he sees it as a form of education, which with which we strongly agree as veterans of one of his tours. Let's change our topic just a little bit. We would like to, this is an environmental radio show as well, and we wanted to ask you about environmental issues and problems in India and get your perspective on that. So we know that you've struggled with a number of environmental issues. What are the, what do you see as the biggest concerns in India at the moment concerning the environment, global warming, etc.?
Yeah, it is. I think all the world is just suffering from this environmental issues, and India is one of them. India is maybe second largest populated country in the world. So number of vehicles and the motors is very high in the big cities, and it's just making our temperatures high, even pollution there. People are using air conditions, AC, like there is a big buildings like Mumbai's in one concrete buildings like 100 stories. So in each room there, people are using air conditions, Wi-Fi, and everyone has a 2-3 cars, and it's just making the environment very air quality index very weak. In Delhi, big cities, it is a struggling. Big cities is struggling for the air quality. So government is playing big role now to make it better. But as my personal experience, when it was shut down, totally lockdown in India, weather was very clean.
People
were able to see the mountains from their roof terraces when after rain. Everything was clean. They haven't seen the mountains for a long, long, long time. Due to the all time, there is a one fog mist in the air. So it was not easy for them to see all time until it's rain.
Right.
So when it was few months, it was totally shut down, lockdown in India. So weather was very, very, very clean.
Did people say, we got to keep it this way. Let's clean it up so
yes.
We can always see the mountains forever.
Yes. Global warming is other thing. Sometime I told you already, I take my tours as a trekking tours to the Himalayas. There is a, in 2015, I was there in Gaumukh, source of Ganges.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And it is a little difficult track, but not very difficult. But I saw the glacier, under the glacier Ganges is coming. It is very fresh water and very clean, and environment is very good. I was doing the camping and with my porter. We were not allowed to stay there more than 3 nights. But after that, when I went there again, the glaciers are melting here. Mm-hmm. Because temperature is increasing every year. So it is a big issue all over the world, I think. But we are one of them. We are suffering with these things, pollutions.
I wanted to ask a little bit about the Green Revolution, which probably took place before you were born, Dalbir, but in the 1970s, there was this major push. The Green Revolution, it was widely heralded worldwide, but it involved a lot of pesticides, seed control by American companies, and now there's been a retreat from that Green Revolution. Could you fill us in. And I know as well that there were farmer revolutions within the past year in India concerned the farmers protesting yes. government policies. Could you tell
big,
us a
big,
bit
big,
about
big,
that?
Big protest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was India, Punjab, my home state is like Punjab. Panj means five and Ab means rivers. My state is known as the river state of five rivers, land of five rivers. But after five partition, our two rivers left behind in Pakistan, our state is known as a bread basket of India, bread basket, mm-hmm. food basket.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So our farmers are very, very good. They are, every single inch they are producing something. Every inch. Farmers are doing now organic farming. I think I took you one of the
yes.
Organic farmers who came from France. He's doing organic farming mm-hmm. here. And the government is helping them to be encouraging on coming to the, not using the too much pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no limit. Sometimes farmers to take their profit and to increase the number of their productivity. They use extra pesticides. So it is very important for us to help them, our farmers, to come on the organic food. Punjab is a big farming land. Our farmers are very hard workers, even yeah. not in India. They gone abroad. Wherever they gone, they just did the good farming. Punjabis are going abroad now, mm. and they are very hard worker peoples.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that the farming now is primarily organic or moving more toward organic, or is there kind of controversy over organic versus pesticides and herbicides?
Actually, it is a commercial things, like the some people who want to be sell it, like industrialists.
Mm-hmm.
They want to big production. They don't care about people's health.
Right.
But how many sprays, how much pesticides are good for our health or water, under the water in the earth. Their main focus is getting money and getting more productions.
Right.
But it's not good for our health and our generations. So organic farming is very, very important. So government need to be take a serious step for that. That this kind of pesticide they can use, and encouraging and giving these some motivational speeches and seminars in the villages. They need to encourage our farmers to come to the organic farming. It's very important for our coming generations. We are spoiling water for our coming generations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a very important thing.
We should probably make clear for our listeners about the size of farms in India. I mean, here in California, we have huge farms, hundreds of thousands of hectares, a lot of mechanical equipment. That is not the case in India. What's the typical size of a family farm in India? Or the ones that you...
Or any kind of farm.
Or any kind of farm, yeah.
It depends on the areas and the family status. If someone's... is a rich people, they have a big land of pieces,
mm-hmm.
like 10 acres, 50 acres,
okay.
100 acres. And middle-class people, they don't have, because prices of lands are very expensive here.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's going to generations to generations.
Yes.
Yes.
Like my grandfather has 100 acres.
Okay.
And he has two sons. Now it divided in two sons, 50-50
yes.
acres.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have two sons, four sons. Mm. They're going to be dividations. Mm. Dividation is spoiling the farming.
Yeah. Mm.
It is spoiling. People don't live together. Its trend is a nuclear family, not anymore joint families.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're dividing their farming lands. Some want to make a construction because India is a big populated country. People like to sell their lands to make a constructions, apartments. They can think they can make big money on that.
Yes, here too.
So it is dividing. And some people think in Punjabis, they don't have like bright future. Sometimes their number of unemployment in India is just not very good. So youth sometimes struggling. So they are selling their piece of land, like going abroad. They think they can go abroad and they can make money. They can earn in dollars. If they're going to UK, I can. If I sell that small piece of land, it's not easy. It's not easy decision. But when people don't have future, they sell their piece of land. They go abroad to find their future for their coming generations.
Yes.
So there, it is these things are happening in my home state. Maybe all over the other, but Punjab, our land is very expensive here. Very expensive, fertile. So it is changing. It is changing.
Yes.
The population is also affecting our farming.
Yep.
And like skyscrapers is a new trend. Everyone industrialist, you know, they're using it. And a third thing is, like I told you, unemployment. People are selling their lands, that's going abroad. And the population is increasing. These small pieces are dividing.
Right.
Other numbers. Everyone has a different interest. Someone want to do a farming, someone want to go abroad. So it is happening here.
I want to go big now. Just a couple of big questions so that you can philosophize and, you know, talk about your big visions. First, about India. What are your greatest hopes for India, and maybe focus on the Punjab, since, you know, Punjab is your home. In the coming months and years, what do you hope, what is happening, and what do you hope for the future?
I hope for my state and for our country to, like, youth has to get jobs here. And youth don't need to involve themselves in, like, in drugs. Drugs is a big issue. When people are in depressions, or we are a border state, like Pakistan is next to Punjab. So it is coming from there, or I don't know how, from where it's coming, but it's on the border. It's very easy. Afghanistan, Punjab, China, we have borders like that. So it is affecting our youth very much. So my big concern, I like to see my state and my country's people healthy, stable, and strong. And my expectation from the government, like, our youth needed some skill-based education. I want to see all communities together, because this pandemic teaches us how to stand with each other. Being a Punjabi, Sikh, our religion just believes in equality.
Yes.
Sharing our food with others first. Whatever we have, we want to be shared with others. In Golden Temple, in our big temple, but all our Sikh temples, we are serving free meals. More than 100,000 free meals we are serving every day in Golden Temple, organic, every day. More than, we have no limits of numbers of people. If there's a 200,000 people, pilgrims, we are ready to serve. I want to see my state and my country's people prosper, so they, whatever they are earning, they can share in the community kitchens. We can do something for helping hand for others, people who really need some help in pandemic.
We did. We actually partook of one of those free meals at a Sikh temple, and sat for a while with the women who were preparing the food for the temple, and that's pretty amazing. It's very impressive about Sikhism. It's just a very generous very open religion.
Believes in it. We believe in it. Like, whatever we have to share with others.
Yes.
Guru saying, if I have 100 rupees, just share 10 rupees to the community. Save it. If God gave us 10 things, return one back to him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
so
lovely.
If I have 100 rupees, 10% returning. It's doing lovely. Something for the community.
And then talk about yourself a little bit. You're supporting a family. you have had a very hard couple of years. What are your personal hopes for the coming months and years? Where do you see yourself going? You're very committed to your profession, and you love what you do. So where do you see things going for you?
I want to see myself like feeling myself more in the same field where I am. With the battery, I just have a small bare piece of land here. I want to be make their small house where I can invite my guests here. They can stay here. Mm. That few rooms, they're like small apartments. There, people like to come in my hometown. They love it very much because it is very high vibration, very powerful place, birthplace of Khalsa. I like to make my home in coming years, in coming, so where I can offer that accommodation to my guests here, where they can stay as long as they want, because I met sometime people who really want to live long here, but their budget don't allow.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to work on that in my piece of property and developing my business in coming years, and I want to see people from different countries in my hometown in India without any stress. They can come to India in my hometown, in my state, and when they go back, they can think, wow, they never have this kind of experience in this lifetime. I want to see them come back again and again. So these things I'm just looking in coming years where I can see more clients in coming years, and it will help to raise my family and my dreams.
Sounds lovely. Sounds really wonderful. Your website is still dalbeersindia.wordpress.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it's okay. It is still.
Okay.
Still.
Because I just went to it the other day. So I encourage people to go to dalbeersindia.wordpress.com and think about your future trip.
I'm also doing, I have a maybe same name page on Facebook too and Instagram too.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Instagram too.
And it's dalbeersindia on Facebook?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Facebook and Instagram page.
Gorgeous pictures. You've done some work with a photographer from England. Is that right?
Nick Fleming is a British photojournalist,
yes.
And he was a very keen, passionate photographer. And he's the person in 1999, I met him first time. He was working on spiritual warriors in my hometown. They are called Nihang Singhs. So I was helping him. He said these spiritual warriors are one of the very difficult subjects for him. How can I do that project? So since 1999-2022, I'm doing that projects with him, with Nihang Singh, spiritual warriors. Mm-hmm. But I working with the other spiritual groups too, like Naga Sadhu, Buddhist monks, mm-hmm. and Sufis, and spiritual warriors, and other powerful spiritual peoples. Work we are doing projects on living divinely.
Living divinely, that's lovely.
Living divinely.
I love
so that. It's not photography is a very difficult thing. You need to be patience. You have to wait for happening things. I love photography very much.
You do wonderful photographs. You have on your website, dalbeersindia.wordpress.com. There's a whole section of images, and it's amazing. Mm. And I love it that you send me reminders of our trip together with the photographs.
Sometime I'm doing photographic workshops in India too. Photographic tours. I'm used and recommended by BBC too. I did one documentary with the BBC, Cook Abroad, Tony Singh. Cook Abroad. So it was a great privilege for me to work with big international channels, BBC.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's impressive. Good.
Tell us something else that we don't know, because we didn't hear about that project. Is there anything else we should know about you?
No, just sometimes people recommend my name. They think if you want to work on this Naga Sadhus or Indian food cuisine, this person is very knowledgeable, and he already worked with the Indians, Times of India, one of the biggest newspaper in India, in English newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I did with my friend photographic, street photographic tool for them.
Nice.
Indian Times of India.
Times of India, so right.
Okay. People recommend my name, though, when they work, they like my work.
So you're kind of famous.
No, I'm not famous by any advertisement, but it's people's love and their recommendation, mouth to mouth. My writing skill is not very good, but whenever you want to see my website, it is very old still. But people help me, give me ideas. So I'm following them too.
That's but great.
I will improve it better way.
So go to Dalbeer's website. It's dalbeersindia.wordpress.com and learn more about him and see his lovely face and his lovely pictures.
We want to thank you, Dalbeer, for being on Ecotopia with us tonight. It's fabulous to talk with you and to learn about your work and to learn about your spiritual orientation, your dedication to things spiritual. You're an inspiration to us, and thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me into your show. It's my very, very first interview. I was a little nervous. I hope I give all the answers.
No worries. Yes. Thank you, Dalbeer. You just listened to our interview with Dalbeer Singh. He is a spiritual tour guide, but he includes many different religions in his tours of India. The first song we played tonight was actually a Hindu song. It's called Jai Jai Ma. It's a kirtan song, and it's Victory to the Mother. Right now, we're playing Guri Kima. Teriyan Mariyan is the song, and it's also, this one is a Sikh song. Coming up in just a few minutes is
North State Give and Take,
and the interview will be from Blue Rock Radio Station. It's on recycling, and the interview is between Jay and Anir Warmke in Ohio. And after that, at 6:30, Ginger Nichols will be here with Radioactive. We also want to announce that a panel discussion will take place tomorrow night. It's sponsored by the Butte Environmental Council. It's on air quality and how air quality impacts both human and environmental health. That's from 6 to 8, but you have to register. And so you probably need to write this down. It's bit.ly/BEC-forums22-air. And you can also go to becknet.org to learn more about the event. and that will be coming up tomorrow night. You do have to register, and so go to bit.ly/BEC-forums with an S, 22-AIR. Ecotopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Neil Yelland, a financial advisor with Edward Jones in Chico. No matter where you are in life's journey, Neil can offer guidance and strategies for wealth and retirement income, college savings accounts, estate and legacy plans, charitable giving, and more. For a consultation or more information, Neil can be reached at 530-345-8913 on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Esplanade. Neil Yelland, Edward Jones member, SPIC. Ecotopia is also made possible by J&J Automotive in Chico with over 19 years experience in auto repair and scheduled maintenance, specializing in Subaru and Volvo. J&J provides everything from manufacturer suggested vehicle maintenance to all types of repairs, including transmission and engine repair, brake and suspension, tune-ups, lubes, filters, lights, and more. To book an appointment or for more information, visit J&J Automotive Chico.com and at 530-891-3328. You've been listening to Ecotopia on KZFR 90.1 Chico, listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, North Valley Give and Take.
Up next is North State Give and Take, and it's made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. And more information you can get by calling 893-4923. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3, and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Today on North State Give and Take, I'm going to hijack an interview with Jay and Annie Warmke. They have a little radio station called the Blue Rock Station, and they have a sustainability center in the Appalachian Mountains in southeastern Ohio. And they have a talk here about recycling, which I thought was interesting for myself, certainly, and would be good for all of us. So, a little different today. North State Give and Take, and we're going to listen to an interview that happened between Jay and Annie Warmke.
I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
You are, and